Okay, guys, with the debate going on, all right, who are two people that you'd like to see debate? What's a debate you guys like to see?
Wow.
I mean, I'd like to see John Stamos versus Rob Lowe.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they have a lot to talk and a lot of comparisons.
Yo.
Frank, who you want to see, Frank?
Me? I would love to see Biggie against Tupac Shakur.
Whoa, like a rap debate?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got to get it down for the last time. Word.
Bars.
Yup.
Bars. Who's next, Frank?
Jamie.
I think I would want to see Trump versus Trump. I want to see if he could out-interrupt himself. excuse me.
I have something to say.
Okay, you know what? Yeah,
it's my turn.
You're a clown. See, it would be interesting.
I'm still really into this saga with Cardi B. I think we need some closure as a country. So I'd like to see Cardi B versus Offset in a debate.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, let's talk about all the issues, you know?
Are they getting divorced for real, or what is this?
Well, that's what's happening, you know?
Well, that's what the debate's for.
Yeah, let's see what they really think about the WAP, okay? Let's talk about
I want a wet-ass president.
It's the Latinos Out Loud podcast.
Yo,
okay, wow. There was some performance art there in the middle of that.
What the hell was that?
I don't know what it was, Jerry. I don't know what it was, Jerry Diaz, guest co-host. Okay? Don't ask these questions that I don't have the answers to. What's up, everybody?
It's
Out Loud. Hi, how's it going? Settle. Everybody settle. Except if you're in a car driving, you should not settle. Just stay with the traffic. Don't go above the speed limit. Don't do it. You know they're out there like ninjas. Anyway, it's your friend till the motherfucking end, Rachel La Loca. And yo, Jerry, welcome. Guest co-host. How's it feel? Again.
Thank you. It feels great. By the way, congratulations on the new season. Everything is wonderful, as always. You know I'm your number one fan.
We love it.
You know what I'm saying? I love being here, and thank you for inviting me, guys. This is great.
All right.
By the way, this is Jay Ferns, and sitting not next to me in real life, but next to me in the Zoom room is...
Frank Nibs, Frank Spiracy Nibs, shouting you out from the Heights.
Oh, Frank, always repping the Heights. Hi, guys.
All day.
We're back.
I like having Jerry here. This is kind of, it's comfort. It's comfortable.
It's home. It's home.
It's home. It's home. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I know he'll finish my joke sometimes. You know what I mean? We have that type of relationship.
Shit, I missed that one. Sorry.
Why are you becoming like such a lazy joke teller? You want Jerry to finish your jokes? Why?
Sometimes I need that. Sometimes I need that. And when Jerry's here, I can just kind of like sit back and let him finish it off, you know?
Finish it off. Oh,
that don't sound right. That don't sound right.
That sounded like something else. I also don't mind watching that unfold on Zoom either. But that's not why we're here, is it?
Get your cameras off. Yeah.
Yo, but Jerry, look, you just like nonstop. You're like the Energizer podcast bunny with Men on Pause.
Yes, thank you for the plug.
Release a few more episodes. Like, how's it going over there, podcast life?
It's cool, man. It's fun. I mean, you know, it's a fun podcast because, you know, I talk about the washed life. You know, Frank knows about that. You know, just
no
being
doubt.
An older person.
No doubt.
No, I mean, just I'd say it with love because he's with me. speaking of. And like you guys, and I've also been working on the Bodega Makeover. We just
right.
The pilot episode. Disgusting. You know, I got to meet the mayor of Boston. We're bringing healthy foods. We're not going to completely gentrify the bodega. We want to keep the aesthetic and the whole cultural aspect of the bodega, you know, still with the same type of owners. But we do want to bring healthier food options to all these food deserts, you know, because when you walk into these bodegas, or you see potato chips and candy and stuff like that, and that's okay, but we need to have vegetables and fruits, and you know,
are you also makeovering like the actual bodega? Like, yo, you gotta,
yeah,
you can't have these glue traps like in front of everybody.
Bowl bulletproof glass. This is just a kind of thick plastic. So we're just gonna take this down anyway.
So guys have paying cards in the middle of the store. Maybe you need to like move that outside.
You guys are laughing, but yeah.
Take that illegal card gambling machine that you have in the back here, and we're gonna just remove it.
We're not removing the numbers, guy. Los numeritos, guy. We're not gonna take them out. He's all right.
Well, my request is two things. Just leave the bodega cat, of course.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's happening. Yeah.
And two, that old ass dulce de leche in the shape of a triangle that's
right at the counter. Yeah.
Leave that because it's been there for so long. It's really healthy.
Well, it's next to the pastelitos and stuff, usually, in that counter.
From last Saturday.
Yeah, with the sun lamp.
Yo, my bodega near me has a problem. Like, every time I get a chocolate, it looks like white, chocolate. You know what I'm saying?
You know but why? Yeah,
why is the color melted?
Because it's melted and come back.
That means it's at least two summers old.
Right. You got at least a cycle of melted
in my block. I'm gonna. If you guys start having people send suggestions in of bodegas to make over.
Yes, please.
Mine right on my block.
Okay, I got you. No, but I mean, eventually that's the plan. We're starting out in Boston. That's where. The creator of the series, shout out to Evelyn Brito, that's where she's from.
Hi.
I went out there and I did a bodega in the middle of the hood out in Roxbury, and we're gonna do another one next month in November, start that one, and eventually by next year bringing it to New York. And when we come to New York, we got some big things planned, so you know, fingers crossed.
All right,
Jerry's gonna end up like third season. He's gonna be like in Europe. He's like, yo, I'm in this Paris bodega. I'm in this Paris bodega, and yo, they got some old croissants up in here. We got.
Well, I'm gonna give you an LOL exclusive right now. We're trying to negotiate to go in 2022 to Puerto Rico, and like the bodegas that are of desperate need there. And not only that, like we plan on fixing one, and you know, I'm pushing the idea of like let's make one from scratch and like change somebody's life, like give it to somebody, you know.
Oh,
I feel like I would binge this. And I've never binged a friend before. And I feel like I'm going to have a lot of too much Jerry.
Too much
I'm going to watch 12 episodes of Jerry. And I'm going to be like, I don't think I could talk to Jerry for a month now. Way too much Jerry in my life.
Is that how people feel about our podcast? Because a lot less friends call me. So I'm thinking maybe they just listen to the podcast and think that they've caught up with me, which is in essence true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So do we need to talk anymore? I gotta think about that one. Thanks for fucking up my thought process, Jamie.
Well, I think it's because you share so much. They feel like, yo, what am I gonna ask her when I talk to her? You know what Max. I mean?
Oh, is that why my friends don't call me anymore? Got it.
I already know her thoughts on the news of the week.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool.
So yeah.
Well, Jerry, it's good to have you here, and congrats on Bodega Makeover.
Thank you. We'll include
some links in the podcast description so people can check out what you've already done.
Thank you.
Because there is some in the can already, and you'll be
out. Our pilot is on Amazon Prime, so
we could just Google Bodega Makeover if we need it.
Bodega Makeover, and it's just head you to a website. We're Bodega Makeover on IG, everywhere. And if you follow me and Molly Foca, you can. I'm usually posting up links to that.
Doing big things, bruh.
This is a time for, like, you know, we got to be about it. And even though this project has been in the work for 2 years, I've been involved. It's like one of those things, like, you know, I can actually make a change in our neighborhoods, you know, from like, and it being like the nutrition, what we're putting into our bodies. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Rachel. Yeah.
No. Along the lines of entrepreneurship and making change for our community, absolutely. I got to talk about something that's fairly important. So we have a new partner with Hispanics in Philanthropy, and they have just partnered with Google. Google.org is making a $3 million grant to this organization through something called the Power Up Fund.
Wow.
Together with another company called Eureka, a community built to support and grow underrepresented small businesses, look them up. The Power Up Fund will not only help grow Latino small businesses, but also help entrepreneurs build the skills to continue that growth in the future. You guys, applications for this $5,000 grant and intensive mentoring program are open right now, but only through October 14th. Mm. So if you're an entrepreneur like our girl, Evelyn Brito, and you have a business in California, Texas, and New York, go to powerupfund.org/powerupfund. It's a lot of power up funding. I get it, but go to powerupfund.org/powerupfund. We're going to include the link. But this is money for your business. This is going to hopefully get our economy kickstarted. And we need to get back out there. All of our Latino small businesses, we have to help them from closing down. I mean, this pandemic is affecting so many of our friends that are business owners. So please tell them about this grant. Go to powerupfund.org/powerup. Again, the application deadline is Wednesday, October 14th. And if you want to follow them on social, follow them at BHIPGive, BHIPGive. So shout out to Google partnering with Hispanics in Philanthropy. And thank you for coming to us to share this information with our followers and our fans, because I know for sure there are some hungry businesses out there, business owners. You support our podcast, and this is a way that we want to thank you. Just please go get this free paper that's out there for your business. All right, guys. So yeah, check that out. And yo, Jamie, what's going on in your world?
Word.
Well, guys, this week I got my first ever COVID test.
Yay!
Whoa, wow. Wait, are we celebrating? Did we celebrate or not? What was the result?
Is Frank celebrating because he had? Yeah.
What's going on here? I love you, Jamie. Are you okay?
Frank celebrated too hard there. What happened?
Yeah, Frank acted like I just said I lost my virginity.
Yeah.
That still hasn't happened yet, unfortunately, Frank.
Oh, my God.
One day for that. Yeah. I did lose, like, I felt like I lost my nose virginity because that little, they stick something up there so far up. It hits you.
You get used to it.
It was very uncomfortable.
She said to relax your muscles. Is that what you said?
A lot of orifices worth exploring.
I think I told Jerry beforehand earlier today, and he asked me if it hurt. I said it was uncomfortable, but the good news is that I found a new erogenous zone.
Right.
Huh? Did you get a nose boner? Does that work? No. Boner. No.
Maybe. No, it was definitely a weird feeling. Like the nurse described it as if you were at the beach and you got like a bunch of water up your nose, and I feel like that was very
that brain burn like from
water. Like it makes you like my eyes water.
When you snort too much, I mean, shut up.
No, check it. When you do it, make sure like your nose is clean, because she came out when she put that little like Q-tip up there.
Mad mocos.
A big moco.
Ew, Jamie.
I don't want to be gross, but I'm gonna be real. A big ass moco.
That shit was a moco from 1983.
She cleared like
Jamie can smell now.
Was it like the shape of your like mucous membrane? Was it one of those ones that you had to like peel off, and it was like a whole layer of nose skin?
Like,
was like, I can hear now.
She went from like joking around with me to like silence after she took that moco out. Like, I offended her with that shit. I was like, yo, I don't know how far. I didn't know how far you were going to go.
She also offered to do a little manscaping in your nose, or no? Oh, find anything else up there? You want to trim while I'm here?
Mind you, I went for a flu shot. So I guess flu shot is the gateway drug to COVID test. Because then she was like, yo, come over here.
You want
to get some of this COVID test action? And I'm like, I don't know. I just came for the flu shot. I don't know That's if I'm how they ready get for you. That. And she was like, first one's free.
Ooh. Yo, so what happened? Jamie?
Oh, well, 3 days later, I got a negative.
Oh!
Now we can celebrate.
Negative. So you failed the test? You failed the test.
I failed it.
Oh, he's used to that though, Jerry. Yeah.
No, my bank account had a negative. But the actual COVID test was unsure yet. Okay. It was inconclusive. So
in a few days.
No, she said it was gonna be like a week, and I was like, yo, why are we still getting this week away results? You got like Trump getting three a day and finding out like right. 5 minutes.
The NBA gets one in the same day.
The NBA mistresses get one in the same day.
Oh, damn.
And an STD test.
And then, wow.
At this point, don't we have those at-home tests? Where are those things?
You know?
Yeah, I don't trust that. I think I got burned with some old pregnancy test back in the at-home pregnancy test. Back then.
Oh, my God. Well,
you can't buy them used.
What does blue or pink mean? I don't get it.
You're not the one that's supposed to be taking the test.
And also, you're supposed to, you can't buy them used.
I thought I could pee on it and we could both, you know.
It doesn't work that way. No.
To see if it was mine. To see if
what, you thought your pee was pregnant?
But look, I wanted this to be an educational segment, y'all. I
but we learning. We learning about you.
It was uncomfortable, but it was at the end of the day, it was harmless. And if you feel like you need to take one, go to your local urgent care and get one done. Hopefully your insurance, if you don't have insurance, you know, I don't know how much they're gonna charge you. They might that shit might cost more than like a 65-inch TV or something if you don't have insurance. But I had insurance, so it was cool. But like maybe the first, like to me, the first one's free. Maybe the nurse will hook you up.
And your ladies out there, work it. You got a sugar daddy, be like, daddy, you want to go take a COVID test with me, baby? You know, work it, ladies. You know how we do.
Let's be honest, we've had worse things up our noses. So,
For sure.
I mean, not me. I'm talking about, you know, just.
Y tú, Franklin? Todo bien.
Yo, this week I went to my first post-COVID film job, yo. I haven't had no film work since COVID started, so it was like a big thing for me. Oh, I went to like a, I did a film last year that I filmed, and we went to edit it this year. So I was in a room with a whole bunch of people with the face masks editing this film that we did last year. So it was exciting, you know. Everybody went back to work. New York is getting back and running, so it's kind of exciting, you know.
Wait, Frank. I just want to know: is this softcore or hardcore?
Wait, are we talking like Cinemax or like full soft? Like, you know?
Soft. It's soft. It's spice. This was the film that I shot last year in the summer. It's called The Summer of 70, and then we shot it out in Asbury.
It's after 69, yeah.
Right, Asbury Park, out of New Jersey, and we went to
Asbury Park.
Yeah. So now they're editing the film, so we all got together, about like 5-7 people together. And we got in a room, like nobody's been working since COVID. So we got in this big ass room, everybody, and you know, we opened the windows, the fans, and we got to, you know, we got back to working. So it was kind of exciting, you know. I haven't gone back to work in film since then. So
wait, so Frank, so you're our eye on an actual set. Like,
yes.
Do you feel like people were playing it safe, or did you see some, like, was it a little more looser than you thought it would
be? Well, no, this was last year. I don't know if you guys remember. I shot this last year, so it was pre-COVID. Now we're editing this project that we did from last summer.
Oh, so you're not, you weren't shooting it again? You
were just right, we were editing it. So the whole process now is we're going through the editing process. So everybody's together, the DPs, the producers, and we're all sitting in a room and we're watching the whole process and the whole film and watching all the footage, and we're helping to put it back together. But no one's been working, so we've all been in the room. So we were like, you know, COVID, you know, ready, you know, we had to wash our hands before we went in the room, you know, we had to wear the mask, and it was like a group of like almost like 15 people, so we all sat together in this room, and nobody's like, you know, seen each other since last year. We all have masks. We had to, you know,
like 15 people to edit something.
Yeah, because like everybody has a say kind of in, you know, how the whole process is going. So it was kind of exciting, but it was good to see everybody back together, and you know, productions being ran back again. You know, I haven't seen that since last year, so it was kind of exciting, you know.
So weird to like think about going back. Like, are we gonna hit the stage, you guys? Are we going back to the stage?
Hell yeah, next year we back on, yo.
Well, you know, I've been on set with the bodega stuff, and that's, you know, with the mask, everybody's got to take that precaution. Yeah. You're filling out forms, you're like, you know, and then like once you are within a certain thing, like, you know, you have to have a trust, because you can't record with, you can't film with the masks on.
Yep.
You know, but you also have to let the audience know, like, you are following the protocols up to that point.
Right.
So it's just weird. It's just strange. It's very strange.
Jerry, you can't fake that, like your urine tests. Like, you just
know. Right.
Like, you have to go.
No, I can't fight like a young kid. No. I can't take my daughter's urine. No, you're right. But I can't, like, the stage stuff though is some, it's like a whole other thing. I mean, look, Chappelle had to build a thing in his cornfield because he had the space. Like, how many of us can really do something like that?
I actually own a cornfield. So,
so let's do it.
I don't.
Oh, shit. You got me excited for a second.
I do own a plátano field somewhere in Santiago.
We can pull it up.
My name is on the deed. So if you guys want to go there,
El Cornuco de Rachel.
Yeah, live stuff in especially in New York City is in trouble because comedy clubs aren't open here yet.
Nope. They do sets in parking lots.
Right, exactly. You have to find different ways to do it outdoors in some weird way. And that still won't guarantee you like a big audience. You're still going to have like, you know, a scattered amount of people, but it's pretty tough. Live, hopefully we get to a point where we can feel like good about live entertainment again, because that's a big part of the country, the country, and also specifically
New York
City.
Yeah.
That and a lot of these live entertainers, you know, Broadway, hello. There's a question mark as to when everybody's going to be back to doing this. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And nobody's going to want me on stage because every time I talk, there's like a big stream of saliva coming out. It's going to be like a Gallagher show. People are going to need to have like, people in the front row got to cover themselves not to get, you know, wet.
Usually it's watermelon, but now it's Jamie Spitt.
Speaking of me spitting on things, I think it's time for the bites.
Yeah.
I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bojinche. Bites. I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bojinche. Bites.
Jamie!
Fabio!
Cuckoo to cuckoo. I don't know what to do. Okay.
Fresh off a COVID test, Jamie Fernandez. All right. Hey guys, first bite. Jay Balvin. Any Jay Balvin fans here?
Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
He's getting his own McDonald's meal.
Out.
So this is kind of a thing now, I think, going on in the music industry, I guess, because it started with the rapper Travis Scott. Travis Scott got his own McDonald's meal, the Travis Scott meal, and his fans went crazy. They were like crowding McDonald's like it was,
I don't know. Travis Scott McNuggets taste funny.
They're crowding McDonald's like anywhere, like it was anywhere but McDonald's. Like nobody's really going to McDonald's in those numbers. And so J Balvin was like, yo, let me get in on this. So he has a new meal. And so in this meal, it comes with a Big Mac, a medium fries with ketchup. And here we go. This is the big one. An Oreo McFlurry.
What?
So he's mixing it up there.
I
don't know. I thought they were going to call this. They should have called this the Papi meal.
With a racial unity shake.
Yeah.
But right now, and I didn't even know, like, I mean, Ronald McDonald, is Ronald into reggaeton? In McDonaldland, are they pumping all this reggaeton and shit, like bumping it?
It's the Ronald McDonald Trap House, not the Ronald McDonald House, son. You know how they get down.
J Balvin could actually pass for the Hamburglar if he put on a little mask covering his eyes.
Ronald McDonald sounds like a reggaeton name. Rona Madonna.
Rona McDonald.
But guys, look, Rachel, you're you've been in the marketing biz.
Oh yeah, I was there at one point.
How do you feel about this sort of marketing? Like now they're going straight to fast. All these celebrities and specifically a musical artist are going straight to fast food places to get money. Do you think that's a wise strategy?
Well, the endorsement deal itself must be huge for the artist. I mean, we're talking McDonald's people, but I'm just saying, we know this concept. We eat in the Heights. Bago has his own tacos at Picanee. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out Bago. Yeah.
The correlation with a face to some kind of meal. I mean, there's got to be some kind of research and science there, but like, I like this trend. Let's give Latinos more McDonald's meals. Let's like, instead of, you know, the shamrock shake, let's do like a shakeita. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
Well, I mean, I know he's not Latino. I know he's not Latino, but I know I would go for some KFC, some Khaled fried chicken.
Khaled! Yeah. Khaled fried chicken. I like it.
I would think Cardi B, she could have a meal. Maybe in Burger King, she could have the Whopper, spelled W-A-P.
The Whopper.
Yeah, the Whopper. I mean, you could just go kind of old school, the Cardi BLT. But you know what? I don't know.
Whoppers got her.
What about, you know, there's other singers. I think all types of singers can get.
I think Tommy Lee used to have one with Subway in the footlong.
But a foot long?
Oh, a foot long?
That is amazing. That is incredible.
Not many people know about that endorsement. No, right.
Yo, check it out. Ed Sheeran, I think you should have an Ed McMuffin. Shout out to Ed Sheeran.
Amy, who would you hook up with, like a White Castle endorsement?
Trump? What, Donald Trump?
Trump, yeah.
What is it? A white extremist castle.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
That's what the White House is right now.
Jamie! Yes.
Yes. Oh, yo, Wendy's? What about Wendy's could do something? How about they have a baked potato?
Wendy Williams with Wendy's.
Ooh. Yes.
Well, there's something there.
You know what I'm saying?
How you eating?
How you...
How you doing?
Clap
shout
if you care.
Shout out to my boy Ramon Pesante, yo. Who Ramon Pesante is working on Wendy Williams. Quick shout
word.
Out.
Oh, what up, Raymond?
Okay, doing big things.
Word.
How about instead of a baked potato, a baked Lovato?
That doesn't sound tasty.
Because she's baked. She's been baked a lot.
She's been baked.
Oh. Yes, she has.
Shout out to Demi Lovato, Latina, doing her thing. Okay, well, look, I think we brought out a lot of good ideas for a lot of these.
We're ready to work for an agency here.
Yeah, I think. Well, oh, Latinos Out Loud. Hello.
Hello.
What about us?
Fast food craze.
Yes.
What fast food place could we market ourselves?
What would you? Yeah. What would you guys sell? Like, what would be? Who would you guys hook up with?
I mean, I don't want to say this out loud, but I am a huge fan of Chick-fil-A. That chicken is slamming, son.
Yeah.
I mean they're very problematic though with their
yeah.
I know they are problematic. I haven't had it in a while, but all right. Next. I don't know.
You guys should be with Caridad and shit.
That's another restaurant that does the celebrity affiliations. You ever go there, you see the menu, and it's like they got the Sammy Sosa meal, everything. It's like white meat. And then they got the like pork and shit.
Guys, I think I have it, though. I think I have it. Instead of Latinos Out Loud, Domino's Out Loud.
What?
We get with Domino Pizza, but we have, you know, we bet the dominoes. We it's a bunch of us playing dominoes.
Yes.
Dominoes.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Dominoes Out Loud. The box even looks like our flag.
There you
go. It's so perfect.
Okay. If anybody knows anybody works for Domino's, you know, let
hook
us
hook it up. Yeah.
Oh,
we
man.
Have a new marketing
good.
Plan. I think we have a new marketing plan. All right. Fuck you, Pizza Hut. Okay, guys, my next bite. And this is actually like some messed up news. Actor Rick Moranis, if you don't know him, you didn't live through the 80s because he was in Ghostbusters. He was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. He was in Spaceballs. Anyway, he was just standing, minding his own business in Central Park West of Midtown Manhattan when some guy just punched him, knocked him in the head.
What?
To the ground. I don't know if this guy knew that it was Rick Moranis. I feel like he didn't. He saw the news and he was like, oh shit, yo, I just knocked out the guy from Ghostbusters. What the fuck?
Oh man, it's the guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I'm about to shrink your face, son.
Honey, I got punched in the face.
Oh, poor Rick Moranis, bendito.
That's so messed up. And it's like, yo, de Blasio, like, this can't happen.
Word.
This is the, you know, this is the height of crime right now when Rick Moranis gets his ass beat in the middle of. He wasn't in some, you know, bad neighborhood. He wasn't in, like, you know, East New York or whatever like that. He was in Central Park West. Oof. And this guy gets knocked. Oh, and fun fact, he was actually a couple blocks away from the hotel in the movie Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, right, where he turns into
wow, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
So did Slimer come to his rescue? Like, he just, nothing from Slimer? That fucking slime ball?
No Gozar?
No Gozar? I mean, I think I'd rather get slime than get, like, hit in the face. Forget Ghostbusters. We need Crime Busters.
So he just got knocked out of nowhere.
But that's the thing. Like, what is it? A lot of random crime in the city is, like, somebody just knocking somebody out. But then they walk away like nothing happened.
But do you think he has like a punchable? Don't you think like maybe some people have punchable faces?
Damn,
if you didn't know it was Rick Moranis, yes, I would say he does have somewhat of a punchable face.
I have to agree with that concept.
But so does like most of the Republican Party, and nobody's punching them in the face. Hello, can I get political for a second, please?
It's valid.
Actually, guys, you know what? I didn't mean to segue. But after the bites, we're doing our new segment, and it's called Lolitics. So you know what? How about we just start it up now?
All right.
We don't have a theme song yet. Should we sing one?
Lolitics. Whoa, whoa. These are the Lolitics.
Lolitics. Watch out. Here comes the Lolitics. Here comes the Lolitics.
I'm just trying to Lolitic with you, boo.
Hey, yo, let me Lolitic for you for a second.
Guys. Now we are in a new segment. It's called Lolitics.
Wow.
This year we wanted to make a concerted effort to talk about, I don't know why I had an accent there. A concerted, I became
I'm
like a Latino
it.
Congressman.
I'm with
I want you to vote for me for Bronx Borough President.
Yes.
We wanted to talk more about politics because you can't ignore it, especially now in where there's an election season. You know, sometimes, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't want to talk about politics. If I don't want to get into that convo. Now there's no choice because right now we need to get a certain person, our orange person out of the White House. And this dude is doing more damage to our country than anything else. And, you know, anything Mother Nature could even think of.
Wow.
This dude is a walking hurricane. He's a tornado with saggy balls. An earthquake with, you know, really ugly hair. So this guy is a lot. So look, you know, I know a lot of people are like, look, I don't want to take sides with politics. No, we already know. We want this motherfucker out. So Lolitics is not a pro Trump debate. If you don't like, if you're fans of Trump and you feel like you don't want to take part in this in this part of the show, come back, you know, fast forward. This part.
Fine. Bye, guys. I'm out. Bye.
Bye.
I am just kidding. What are you, nuts?
Fast forward, and then you'll go straight to Frankspiracy. But if you want to hear a little bit of Trump bashing and a little bit of just kind of us figuring out what's going on in the world right now, stick around, okay? So anyways, having said that, what's going on in politics this week?
Well, the Republicans are what Jamie coined super spreading COVID-19.
Yeah,
how many? I mean, the White House, Trump's got it. Melania's got it. Chris Christie's got it. I mean, we're not going to go through the list here, but what do you think is happening here, guys? Is this legit? Because a lot of people are even questioning if Donald Trump even has it or not. Just
what?
Given the time of his announcement on Twitter the morning after the debate.
I think it's karma. I think it's they all got it because they were trying to fill the seat of somebody that had just died. And they didn't even like let that simmer on just on like a forget politics on just on a humanity level. Like Ruth Ginsburg just died 3 days ago and y'all already meeting to fill in her seat. And that's
like let the t-shirts with the spray paint come out first. You
exactly.
Know what I'm saying?
They weren't finished with the mural.
Come out.
Yeah.
You think RGB
the mural? Did we even see a mural? No. Not yet.
Do you think RGB did like some sort of Supreme Court curse on the Republicans? You know what I'm saying? Like he might have put some bad juju in the Republican coffee. Like I feel like,
yeah.
You know, maybe something went down there, or you know what? Maybe the Republicans are just that stupid.
Yeah.
To hold, they're still holding events and not following any of the rules.
No masks.
CDC is like, yo, you need to be following. So, to me, it's just plain stupidity. And there's no excuse for it. Like, I don't even, people are still making excuses for this type of behavior. Like, you're holding a huge ass rally or gathering or ceremony, and nobody got masks. Nobody's doing social distance. People are hugging. People are kissing each other in the cheek. You know, it's a Republican party, so people are probably doing coke with each other. And they're not following the rules.
What do you feel about that photo op that he did by getting in the car and driving around? I mean, was it really, do you guys think it was worth the political clout or gain that you got for even exposing those people that you were in the vehicle with or on the way to the vehicle? Like, why weren't you quarantining like everybody else does?
Yeah, because first of all, we don't even know what day of, we don't know when he got COVID specifically.
Right.
His doctor said one day, it was like, he got it like 2 days ago. And then he had to correct himself because people were like, wait, if he got it 2 days ago, then he did all these, he did all these appearances knowing he had it.
And he went to the debate with it. What are you doing, mister?
And he wouldn't shut up.
Yo, guys, some people think it's all a ploy because he lost the debate. And now he got more shine, and Chris Christie and the whole Republican Party got clout now because he lost the debate. Now all the shine is on him. So a lot of people think this is all like a ploy that he's using.
Well, look, check it. Is anybody talking about the taxes? Mm-hmm. Him paying $750 back anymore. Nobody's talking about that anymore. So mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. Mission accomplished. And right now he's already today, when we actually are recording this, he had a video basically saying, I pretty much already bragging that he's beaten COVID and COVID doesn't have to be a big part of people's lives anymore. So for the next month, he's just going to be like, he's going to use this. I beat COVID. COVID's not such a big deal. To me, that's another suspicious thing. It's like, did he have this already in the chamber?
Well, like 80% of Americans believe that he is lying about him catching COVID. So most Americans do not believe that he actually caught COVID. They think that it's a political ploy, by the way, guys.
Wow. COVID's publicist is probably like, yo, what the fuck? Because Trump is Trump is a 75-year-old overweight guy.
Oh man, prime target.
If he comes out of COVID scot-free with no lingering issues, that's a number. You know, Chris Christie has COVID. If Chris Christie comes out of COVID, it's like
we gotta rethink this whole fucking thing. Yo,
we have to really like reevaluate COVID. Like, I don't.
We're in New York. We don't need to reevaluate it. We know it's real.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. We know I'm saying real. This is what, but his supporters are gonna look at it.
Of course,
and it's gonna be. It's disgusting the way they're using this as a political thing when it's really people are dying.
Well, let's just use this to feed into the message here. It is imperative that you vote in this next election. Yeah. And if you're not registered to vote, you have a few days, but you better start acting now because we are relying on each other. We have got to make a shift and it starts with you. Yeah, you.
Ahora.
Young people, old people, you know, if you can get your pets to vote, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think that's allowed.
I don't know. We need numbers. That's the thing. We need people to go out.
Right.
And all these swing states, if we have any listeners in these swing states.
Yeah. Pick a lover out there. And that's it. Stop swinging.
All right. Stay in a committed relationship with the politician that you want to exactly. Stay with for 4 years. Yeah. But look, this is just 1 week and like 20 things happened and they were all negative and they were all Republican on the Republican side. And look, you know, we're trashing Trump. Biden is not a perfect candidate. I almost wish that we didn't have an almost 80-year-old candidate, you know.
Think about it this. You're not voting for Trump. You're not voting for Biden. You're voting to get Trump out.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. That's it. But I, you know, in that debate, I wish Biden was a step faster. He was very slow with his comebacks. And I feel like he needed to get Viagra. Maybe a little Viagra for the mouth. I don't know if they have that. But...
Along that tip, though, shout out to our boy, Alan Alfaro, who put up a very interesting post. I don't know if you guys saw.
Yes, about stuttering. Yes.
Yes, Alan, our friend who has dealt with a stuttering problem and has become vocal about it. So shout out to him. Just mentioned that Biden also suffered from a stuttering problem and that often, although it has been somewhat cured, a stutterer may sometimes have to, you know, take a little more time to think about the words. So I'm like, ay, bendito Biden. Maybe we like, you know, talking.
I mean, he is 70 plus. Yeah, he's 70. Yep. Plus,
you know? I personally, every time he completed a sentence, I clapped and took a shot. Because I'm like, yes! He could do it. He could run the country. He finished sentences. Let's just do this.
I mean, you know, I think a lot of people are also voting in case anything happens to him. I think they, you know, the vice president, I think
she would be a good Kamala,
stand back, Kamala, because we might need you in a couple of years, just in case Biden doesn't get through the whole 4 years. So anyway, guys, this was a good, I feel like we let a lot of stuff out in this segment.
We got to keep going. I love politics. I'm not sure if I like it or the name more, but I think we should keep going.
But you know what? But you know what?
The
I'm really
first
here
and
for
last
guys.
Politics.
You know, I love you guys and everything, right? I love you guys, but I'm really here for Frankspiracy News. Can I get some?
Oh, it's time! It's time!
Live from La Gran Manzana, it's Frankspiracy News with Frank Nibs.
Hello, folks.
Frank.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
How's everyone?
Frank.
Frank, good.
Hey, guys, I got a good one for you today.
Ooh.
Yeah. Guys, today we're going to talk about the face mask wars. Yep. Yo, right now, with everything that's going on, everybody's talking about these face masks that everybody's wearing.
Yeah, certain the people... fashion wars are like real with face masks. I hope that's what we're talking about, face masks and fashion.
Rachel, some real nice looking ones are coming out, but... I am here to tell you guys that there's some people that are saying that these face masks are not good for us, all right?
Here we go.
And I found, guys, I found this lady. She's a Navy. She was a Navy surgeon. Her name is Dr. Merritt, okay? She was she served as a congressional, she served in the congressional committee in the United States. So this girl, this lady has a lot of like, you know, she has a lot of backing and she's saying that face masks are not good for us, especially kids, Rachel. Rachel, they say that kids learn from human beings from their facial expressions, and having face masks on is the worst thing for kids to see.
Why? It just sounds like they're not gonna cop such an attitude because maybe they won't learn how to give attitude. That's,
you know what
that's
I'm saying?
In my book, right, Jerry? Father of a daughter.
I'm on that. I am on that.
Hey guys, you guys are parents, and they're saying that kids learn from parents' facial expressions, yes. And by having these face masks on, they don't really learn, and it's getting them depressed. And she's done a lot of studies. I mean, she's been in the Navy. She's a Navy surgeon. She's a spinal surgeon. And she's gone in front of Congress. You can see this in actual YouTube videos. And she's saying that it's not actually good for children. This may be for a segment.
Mamatics?
Oh, I like that.
Mamatics.
That rhymes a lot.
No, a mamity segment, maybe. You know what I mean? Hey, guys, by the way, they're giving fines in Texas for not wearing the mask. And de Blasio recently said that he may start giving fines in certain neighborhoods if you don't wear your mask, guys. So let me ask you guys a question. What do you guys think, or what's your take on the mask situation? Because for myself, like Rachel, you saw when I went to your house for the meeting, for the LOL meeting, and I had my mask on as soon as I got to your door. You thought I was a weirdo. You said, Frank, why the fuck do you have a mask on? And I told you, Rachel, I respect everyone. I don't personally wear a mask everywhere, but if I'm coming to your house, I will wear a mask.
Oh, wow.
I need to add some context to this conversation,
please,
if I may, Franklin. The reason why I said, Frank, why the fuck are you wearing a mask is because... I've seen you multiple times and you never wear a mask. You never wear a mask on your IG story. So that's why I said, Frank, why the fuck you wearing a mask?
You thought I was here to rob you. But no, guys, I respect everyone and I respect everybody's wishes. And there's like a subject that everyone's going through in the country. So I really want to know what you guys feel about the whole mask situation. And Jerry, I want to start with you. What do you think about it?
Well, first of all, I'll start by saying I wasn't good in science, and I'm not a scientist. So it's hard for me to like go against certain things, right? But I do know this. I do know this. And I've seen Asian countries been using masks for a long time whenever they have colds or whatever. And I don't see the big deal in it if it's going to stop something. Even if it's both, like, even if it's like a 0.1, whatever, it's got to do something because it's not letting your spittle come out from further than your face into the air. So that has to mean something. And at the end of the day, I don't think it's a big deal. Now, sitting for 8 hours somewhere with a mask on, yeah, that's a difficult thing. But that's why they have quarantining and that kind of stuff. So people, if you're going to be around other people for an extended period of time, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. You don't have to keep your, you know, but at the end of the day, that's what's being called. If you can't be, and that's the other thing, if you can't be within further than 6 feet from somebody, because if you are further than 6 feet from somebody and you're outdoors, you don't have to necessarily be under the mask all the time. But saying that, yeah, I'm going to wear the mask, even if it's, even if I don't see the big deal in it. I don't see the torture in it. And if anything, people say that it's like you're taking away your freedom. But since I've been able to wear the mask, you go to a lot more places. It's giving you your freedom away from this quarantine because you could go places with your mask on. That's what I'm saying. You know, to put that out there for that point where people say it's taking away my freedom. Now you go somewhere and you don't have your mask on, they may not let you in. You
know? Right.
And it becomes, it's more about a societal thing, right? So if we're all in agreement that this is what we're going to do, then let's just all be in agreement that this is what we're going to do as a people. And that's it. It's not a big deal. It's not, nobody's putting a gun to your head. Nobody, this is like a common sense thing. Hey, you know what? We don't shit in the street. We don't shit in public in front of each other. That's a societal agreement that we've all made. Like, we're not going to show each other our genitals with unprovoked. These are all societal contracts that we've made. So what's another big deal with masks if it's going to protect us? That's my opinion on it.
All right, Jamie.
My thing is, I got three words: adapt or die, motherfucker.
Oh snap!
Oh, that's four words. The motherfuckers is not necessary though. From the point, adapt or die, because you all these stubborn people right now that don't want to put on a mask. Their reasons for it are very
weak.
How do I say this? Fucking stupid. Okay, these people have no. It's like there's people dying. There's numbers have come out, right? And we live in a city where we can't separate like the suburbs or other cities that are more white. You know, you can avoid people, right? In New York, you can't avoid anyone. You're always sitting next to someone, sometimes shoulder to shoulder, sometimes mouth to mouth. Hey,
you know, sometimes it's crowded. I get it.
Yes. Sometimes it's crowded, and every time I see someone. And I don't know, maybe it's, I don't think it's just me, but every time I see someone not wearing a mask in the middle of the day in a place where a lot of people are at, it gets me like my blood boiling. Right?
Yeah, why are you special? So why are you angry. Special?
And it almost, I almost feel like the way they're looking at me is like, I don't give a fuck about you. I give a fuck about what I want and I don't give a fuck about you. And the whole thing about masks is you wearing a mask is you protecting others from you just in case. So when you're not wearing one, it's literally because you don't give a fuck about the other person.
Right.
Because if I'm wearing it, I'm protecting you from me. So, you know, you're good. If you think you're, you know, you're walking around. I don't know if you have the COVID with no symptoms, because that's a big thing, too. Now, whether it only gives you a little bit of a flu like symptoms or no symptoms or it really messes you up like it has. A lot of people, especially older people. Why are you putting...
Well, I have a question for you, Jamie. Okay, what if the person that you see is not wearing a mask, is on a mask break? Because I also think it's important to have a mask break. You know what I'm saying?
It better be around your chin. It better be around your chin.
Right. No. So, yeah. Quick mask break, are you still cursing them out?
No. A mask break is needed. I mean, you know, when you eat, right? If you're going to eat outdoors, I know some people still doing that. Are starting to do that. Yeah, you gotta take off the mask to eat. My thing is more walking the streets. You know, if I'm in an elevator with you, if you know, things like that where you can control. If you're gonna take off your mask at that point, why? You know what I'm saying? You're putting me at risk. As long as you're not putting me at risk and you're 6 feet apart, and you know, you want to take a little mask break on your own little like bubble. Do that. Do you?
True.
You know?
Go in a bubble.
Go in a bubble. Right. I just don't want it to be where I'm affected. I could potentially be affected by your dirty ass saliva or coughing.
I don't even want a cold from nobody. Fuck that. Like,
sir, I don't want nothing right now.
Right. Like, you don't want that.
The short answer is that I'm pro mask.
Okay. Rachel, how do you feel about it?
I'm going to tell you how I feel because it's a very quick sentiment. Masks, wear them. Except I have one problem. I have been growing chin hairs like never before. I don't know what's going on, but fuck a 5 o'clock shadow. I have a 5 o'clock solar eclipse on my face. Okay. Wow. I don't understand like in just a few hours. So I think the masks are making my very not feminine looking chin a lot harder for me to deal with these days.
Wow.
And that's what I think we should just move on from. Anyway, right. Guys, I think, guys. Thank you so much, Frank. That was
all right, guys. I'm going to leave you guys with this. A lot of experts think also that this whole face mask thing is a ritualistic ceremony that they're doing on the whole population. Okay. And they usually do this to take away our individualism. okay, to make us all feel like we're not individuals and we're just regular people, okay? And listen to this, guys. Listen to this. You're gonna love this. Our force fields go within 6 feet. And usually when you see someone with a face mask, you stay away from them, right? And you stay away from them within 6 feet. And our force fields go out within 6 feet. So they say that these face masks are being used to keep us apart from each other. And so we could continuously use social media for us to stay together.
Okay, wait, because I know we're ending, but I have to debate that. Why do we wear clothes? Why do people wear clothes? You don't have to wear clothes. If you really feel so strongly that you're individualistic bullshit, then you'd walk out naked every day. But no, people are like, oh, you know, society expects us to wear clothes and shirts and pants and underwear and sneakers. So that bullshit about individualism, you're not an individual because you're doing what everybody else has been doing since the beginning of time, since the beginning of cities and you know, big, you know, places where people walk around and work and play. So
except nudist colonies, you know.
Right, right.
Well, no,
right.
If someone in a nudist colony is not wearing a mask, I'll allow it.
Get it? No clothes, just a mask. Take that, yeah. Lady. All right, guys. I think it's time for Que Lo Que. Time for Que Lo Que, guest co-host. Thank you so much, Jerry Diaz, El Modifoca, and my mío de nosotros.
Thank you for having me. You know, I, like I said, this is home. Yeah, check me out, El Modifoca, at all the social medias, Bodega Makeover, Men on Pause podcast, Latin Geeks podcast, and maybe some more coming in the future because, you know, I talk a lot. But thank you again for having me on. That's right. It's ELMODIFOCA. Check me out.
Right. Next. Who's next? Who's next? Anybody?
I just want to shout out before I throw out my stuff. Yero. Like always, we have to send a big what's up to our peeps at Yero.com. All right. The lifestyle and news platform for Latino men. This week, they're checking out the new NFL season and the Latino rookies and vets who are making big noise.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's making me think of how bad I did in fantasy football last weekend. But if you want to see that story, visit Yero.com for the full story. Because, yes, there are Latinos in the NFL, and Yero has them. And also, you can follow me on Instagram, JFerns, and J_Ferns at Twitter. And I love Jerry, too.
Frank, do you love Jerry?
Always.
Oh, okay, good.
Always.
That's my brother.
All right. Yo, Jerry, people think I'm you, by the way, a lot of times. I guess we're the only two dark guys around.
When you hang out around Rachel, they don't see Jerry. Faces. Yeah.
Yo, Jerry, I'm like, Jerry. You know? What am I gonna do? I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, and I lost my tan, so anybody next to me is a contrast, you know.
Well, no, I just mean like you attract so much attention, nobody really even pays attention to what's next to you. It's just,
do I attract attention? Oh my god, thank you.
I'm just saying, you a superstar, that's all.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry, shut up. I love it though. Keep it coming.
Okay.
You done with your shout outs, Frank? You
want to,
or can
you? I got one shout out. Yeah. Okay. Yo, I want to shout out Mr. Juan Bago. Vampires versus El Bronx came out on Netflix. Our brothers out there. Go give that a check out right now. I haven't seen it myself, but everybody's been putting it on social media.
Jamie, did you get cut out?
I got cut out of the movie, by the way.
Oh, man.
Get the fuck out of here.
All I did was audio.
I had a scene.
I was one of those like, yo, what's up, little mayor? That was me.
I had a scene where I told a DJ to like that he was like to change the song or something like that.
Oh.
And they cut out that scene. But shout out to Oz Rodriguez. He actually Instagram messaged me like RIP party goer.
Oh.
And I told him I like to think the party goer left early because he had a long commute back. So. But the movie is great. I
awesome.
I definitely recommend the movie. And it's actually doing pretty well on Netflix, so that's great for the culture. So definitely,
yes,
our stories.
Yeah. Boggle's in it. Boggle made the cut, so check it out.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's really exciting to have seen it from when we saw it screening to where it is now. So shout out to Oz Rodriguez, former guest of the Latinos Out Loud podcast, now a director like with a film on Netflix that's trending in the top 10. Hello.
Yep.
Frank, you want to drop your social?
Guys, if anything, reach me through IG, Nibs 0125. Or if you can't reach me through Nibs 0125, just reach me through, you know, the Latinos Out Loud page. And, you know, we take it from there.
All right. Okay, I'm going to go through my shout outs really quick. So please bear with me. One time for Uptown Collective, Uptown superhero and father of another Uptown superhero. Luis Miranda Jr. has a movie about his life that will be on HBO on October 6th. Siempre Luis follows Luis Miranda Jr. over the course of a year as his devotion to family and country propel his insatiable appetite for empowering his fellow Latinos. With humor and heart, the documentary dives into Miranda's campaign to mitigate the devastation of Hurricane Maria in his homeland by tirelessly organizing relief efforts and managing the logistics behind bringing his son Lin-Manuel Miranda's award-winning production of Hamilton to the island. So shout out to them. There's a lot of films, a lot of content out there for you people. Speaking of content, this Saturday I will be a panelist on the Vivid Women panel that's taking place on Studio B Entertainment's IG page, I believe, or you may have to follow them on IG to get information on the Zoom. It's going to be a Zoom. I'm really excited to be one of the panelists alongside some really remarkable women doing stuff in the marketing space, in the philanthropic space. I'll be talking about my spiel from corporate to comedy. So check it out. It's the Inspiring Latinas Making an Impact in Their Community and Workplace Zoom on Saturday, October 10th from 11 to 12. That's Central Standard Time, Chicago. Shout out to Chi-Town. And I also got a big shout out to our friend, the founder of the People's Theater Project, which Donovan is a student in and doing very well. Hello, bravissimo. So glad my kid's in a theater class at 5. Anyway, shout out to Mino Lora, who is running for city council in the Bronx.
What? Oh, all right.
Yes.
Wow.
Go to her website. Our friend Mino is running for city council. Go to minoforthebronx.com. And please follow me at Rachel La Loca. What a great episode. You guys, Jerry, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you,
guys.
You guys can leave us some more reviews if you want. Just saying, you know, we've been a little just, you know, staying in the same place when it comes to review numbers. So even if you've left a review, try to do it again. Let us know how you feel this season. If you've been with us for 8 seasons, let us know. That's it, you guys. We're good, right? On to the next episode. We love you. On that note, we out!